Every year when we come upon the fall feast, and I think you should be aware, if you're not, that they are coming up very quickly. They do every year, it seems like. They seem so far away, and then before you know it, trumpets is here and atonement, and we're heading off to the feast. We're not just making plans, but we're actually leaving for it. And it is coming up quickly again this year. I think we have about 18 days. I didn't count it up this morning, but off the top of my head, I'm going to say 18 days before the feast of trumpets. So each year in the fall, I start thinking more and more about prophecy. We know that a good part of the Bible, if you have to think of a percentage of the Bible that is prophecy, what percent would you think of in your mind? And I know that most of you are thinking somewhere around 30% or 33%, somewhere in that nature. So a good part of the Bible is devoted to prophecy. And when we think about trumpets and what trumpets pictures, the amount of prophecy that is devoted, of that 33%, if we were to take another percent and say, what's devoted to the return of Jesus Christ and God's kingdom? It's even, or of that 33 or so percent, it's almost 90% that is devoted specifically to the return of Jesus Christ and to God's kingdom. And so we see that from prophecy, that so much of it points us to the future. And it is important that we have a grasp of prophecy and that we have an understanding, a basis for which to build our understanding and our knowledge of prophecy upon. I enjoy studying and reading prophecy, and I have been constantly amazed through the years how much God has opened the minds of His people to understand prophecy. For those of you who have been around for a while in God's church, I am still amazed at how much truth there was to the future about future prophecy that was being preached in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s and even into the 80s. It seemed to drop off some in the 90s and as we've gone forward, but it's just incredible what God was able to do through His people through those decades. So now we seem to be at a little bit of a lull in the history of God's church. But one thing we do know and understand about prophecy is that it can happen very quickly. So today, I want to take just a little bit of time to give us a foundation or to give us a basis of prophecy, some basic points to keep in mind anytime we're studying or anytime that we want to focus on the topic of prophecy. Now, Mr. Harper mentioned that he didn't have any jokes. Anytime I start to talk about prophecy, I cannot help but to tell bad jokes that you've probably all heard before, but I just can't stand myself. I have to say it, that you know the Bible prophesies baseball, right? Everybody knows that in the big inning. And the Bible prophesied that there would be motorcycles because in Joshua it says the triumph was heard throughout the land. And we know that the Bible prophesied about the car maker Honda, not Toyota, but Honda, and that they were all in one accord. And of course, there's the prophecy of food fights. So if you haven't been in a food fight, you may just be aware of that. If you're ever in a cafeteria or possibly even in your own home, it could start because Zechariah said that he looked and behold a flying roe. So all these things the Bible gives us through the gift of prophecy. So let's just go through some basic terms today. I told you I had to do it. So even if you chuckle just out of pity for me, I would appreciate it. Now, I noticed that Mr. and Mrs. Williams brought their granddaughter, who normally laughs at all my jokes. I don't think she laughed, did she? Well, I'll cross those off my list of jokes. Next time I'll be like Mr. Harper and just say, I don't have any jokes. But let's first look at who or what is a prophet. Who or what is a prophet? Because it's important to know. A prophet is one, a man or a woman who discloses God's will to other people. A prophet is one who discloses God's will to other people. In the Old Testament, there's three words that are translated prophet. And I'm not going to give you the words. I don't think it's necessarily necessary to understand the Hebrew or know the Hebrew. But as far as the meanings, I do want to talk a little bit about the meaning of the three words that are translated prophet. One means an announcer or a spokesman for God. That's specifically what the word means, an announcer or spokesman for God. Another one is a seer or advisor, a seer or advisor. And that word was primarily used when talking about Samuel as a prophet. He was referred to as a seer or advisor of the future. And then another word is also translated as a seer, but it has more emphasis on someone who has visions of the future. So a prophet, according to the Old Testament, is an announcer or spokesman for God, a seer, an advisor, and someone who has visions of the future. I think we can understand from our understanding of prophecy how those would apply. There is also a Hebrew word for prophetess. So if you have to think for a moment as to who in the Bible would have been a prophetess and who this word was used for, maybe you could come up with the correct prophetess that's used only for Deborah in Judges chapter 4. Where she's called, the word that calls her a judge also could be translated a prophetess. In the New Testament, it means one who announces or speaks with godly inspiration. One who announces or speaks with godly inspiration. And oftentimes in the Old Testament, anyone who was a prophet had some sort of governmental authority in the church or work in the nation of Israel or Judah. So unlike that, though, in the New Testament, they didn't have that. They were more of messengers as far as proclaiming God's message to the people. So when you think of who or what a prophet is, or in the case of the females, a prophetess, then it's not a huge mystery. It's one who speaks for God. Specifically in our time in the New Testament, one who speaks through spiritual inspiration. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Because when we think of prophecy and how it applies to us, there is a specific point that I want to make that all of us remember and keep in mind, especially if we're studying prophecy on our own or with others. Keep this in mind, and we're going to start looking at this point in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. Says we also have the more prophetic word, or we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So as far as prophecy goes and understanding prophecy, it's very specific. Don't think that you're going to study prophecy, or for me, I shouldn't think this myself, and come up with some great insider understanding, because it says that prophecy is of no private interpretation. God explains prophecy through holy men, as it says, through the Spirit, or through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just come because we want it to. It comes in God's time, and it's revealed as God wants it to be revealed. So no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. It obviously takes God's Spirit. So studying prophecy simply for intellectual knowledge profits nothing. So the point I want to make for every one of us as we go through, when you hear sermons on prophecy, when you read the blog about world news and prophecy, when you are studying prophecy, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying don't study it, don't follow it, don't pay attention to it. But the important thing is that we recognize that just understanding prophecy or just studying it for the sake of intellectual understanding profits nothing. Here we have this warning in verse 19 where it says, "We have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed." Do well to heed it as a light that shines in a dark place. It says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So it's talking about until Christ returns, until you're resurrected as a spirit being, when you hear prophecy, inspired speaking, whether it's a vision of the future or whether it's God's servants preaching and teaching, take heed. That's the point that this is making. Every one of us, myself included, it says to take heed and recognize that prophecy demonstrates action. And we have example after example. So we don't just hear prophecy in order to think, wow, we have this understanding or we know the future. We do it to take heed and then we act upon it. And let's look at the examples of this in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to start in verse 6, where it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So when we talk about understanding prophecy and the return of Christ, the resurrection, eternal life is 90% of the prophecies we talk about it. Well, do we have faith in that? Do we truly believe it? Because it says we better. That's what we better believe. And when we talk about heeding it and acting upon it, the importance of prophecy, do we base our life upon that belief? That Christ will return, that He who began a good work in us will see it through to the end, that we will be a part of those resurrected in the first fruits, and then we'll serve and reign with Jesus Christ in the millennium and live for eternity with God the Father and with Jesus Christ and with our spiritual family. And then verse 7, here we have examples of people, heroes of faith, taking heed to prophecy and acting upon it. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. So Noah received prophecy. He was divinely warned of things not seen, of future fulfillments. And he was divinely warned of it. And then notice what he did. Did he say, "Ooh, I have special understanding," or "I know something other people don't know"? Did he do the special dance? I'm not dancing today, by the way. I did dance at camp during the sermon, but I'm not going to dance today. That's for those of you who are at Pentecost. My dancing days are done. But Noah, look what he did. He says that he was moved with godly fear. So he did take heed to prophecy. And he was moved with godly fear. And he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. So we see an example of one of God's chosen taking heed to prophecy and acting upon it. Now, this is our responsibility. This is what each and every one of us as Christians today are to do. Notice Abraham. We see the very similar things, the same principles, I should say, taking place with Abraham in verse 8. By faith, so again, he believed God. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. So again, he was given divine understanding or insight into the future. He was told where to go, what to do. He was told that he was given later, of course, the blessings of faith and race, or grace and race, and he believed it. So he heeded it. He obeyed. He heard and he did. He heeded it. He acted upon it. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So we see specifically that he listened, he heeded, that he acted upon. So when we look at prophecy, the future fulfillment of prophecy, the spiritual understanding that God has given us, every one of us are responsible for heeding the prophecy, for heeding spiritual understanding, and then acting upon it accordingly. Now, this is our responsibility as Christians towards prophecy and towards understanding prophecy. So we see that there's a lot of information through the Bible that's dedicated, a lot of scriptures, I should say, dedicated specifically to prophecy. And so much of it is a call to action for true Christians to heed it and to act upon it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We understand that at this time, Paul understood that Christ was not returning in his lifetime. He expected it at first, and then later on he realized that wasn't going to take place. But when we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, what we read is an older apostle who realized he was at the end of his life, the end of his fight, as he says. And in verse 8 he says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So when we talk about heeding prophecy, this is what we look forward to, is the crown of righteousness laid up for us. And we want to be able to say this same thing. So prophecy, a lot of it is when you go through prophecy, you study prophecy, it is a call to action, and it is many times cause and effect. So some who are called and chosen will be able to say this, even as Paul did. Because Paul, we know, we understand, he's someone who heeded spiritual inspiration and understanding and prophecy. In every sense of the word, he heeded it, he acted upon it, and he was able to say that there was a crown of righteousness laid up for him. And he also said it's not for him only, but for all who have loved his appearing. And if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, so that's one ending that we see for Christians, those who heeded prophecy accordingly. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we'll see that some don't. Verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith." So they give heed, but notice what it says. It says, "They giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with an iron." And it goes through various things as to what they begin to teach. But he says some will give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrine of demons. And they will have their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So notice that it's people who depart from the faith. They have the same prophecy. They have the same spiritual inspiration. Some heed it appropriately and some don't. So when we think of prophecy, and when you begin to study prophecy, when you begin to look into prophecy, always do it with the idea of what is it that I need to heed? What is the spiritual principles here? What's the spiritual understanding? What do I need to heed? What actions should I be taking because of this prophecy? So let me give 10 keys. I don't do this too often as far as having numbers and lists, but I am today. I'm going to give you 10 keys to understanding prophecy. Some of you asked how I was doing before services, and I was honest with you as far as saying that I had a very hard week, and I'm very tired today, which means I have to work harder when I stand up here and speak. And if I have to work harder, that means you do as well. So I'm going to give you 10 points to keep and put in your notes as far as understanding prophecy. So 10 points to understanding prophecy. Number one is study it. So again, I'm not saying don't study it. It's a third of the Bible. We should study it. But the point I made earlier is it's not of any private interpretation. But point number one is to study it. We must study to understand. Now, prophecy is written for us in the Bible. And it's important that we understand it. Of course, we know this verse, but I want to review it in correlation with prophecy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where it says all Scripture, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And of course, the man of God is any human being called of God. So the person, the human of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it's profitable. So we need to recognize that with that much of the Bible dedicated to prophecy, it is important that we study it. And we spent quite a bit of time on a Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to look at it as well, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You've heard me and many men who stand before you and speak the truth talk about the fact that Christianity is never a spectator activity or a passive way of life. It demonstrates activity. And so much of the Bible shows the action that is necessary from Christians. And here in verse 15, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So that's part of our responsibility. And it is our responsibility when we study prophecy to pray, to ask God to help us to understand what it is He wants us to heed, what actions He wants us to take, because it's important that we ask God to open our mind to truth, to give us true understanding. So again, we see be diligent. Being diligent means to put focus on it, to work at it. It's not something that just happens. I know that when I was in college, one of the jokes was to record your lessons on a tape and then put the headphones on and sleep with it. And so if you do that enough, it just comes out because it's in your subconscious. But we know that doesn't work exactly the way that we might want it to. And you can't just sleep, put the Bible under your pillow, or you can't just put it in your briefcase or keep one in your car and think that because you've done that, you have one in your office or wherever it might be, that you're going to have understanding. The Bible's very clear. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Mr. Carey gave a very encouraging and inspiring sermon at camp as well. We did splits there like we did at Pentecost. But his whole thing was to all of us and the young people who were at camp. The purpose was to not be idle. So nowhere does it say, now that you're a Christian, get your lazy boy and your six-pack and kick your feet up, turn the game on, and don't do anything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch a game, if you're thinking that. I love to turn a game on Sundays, lay on the couch, and fall asleep. And if they turn the football game off, I wake up. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying it doesn't say to be lazy, to take your leave. It says to be a worker. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So point number one, to understanding prophecy is to study. Number two, be willing to obey. If you want to understand prophecy, be willing to obey God. Let's look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you shall know the truth shall make you free. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You know the truth shall make you free. So when we talk about this, that the freedom and that we can have, the liberty that we can have, and God's law is called the perfect law of liberty, which means freedom, having freedom. We understand it's not just freedom to do whatever we want to do. When we have this freedom, we have freedom from the God of this world. We have freedom from the sins that weigh humanity down. We have freedom from lies and deception. So the truth that makes us free is God's way of life. And we know God says, if you love me, every one of you can probably finish that verse. So God says, you don't have to say it out loud, but if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey God's word. Obedience is important to having understanding. Let's look also in 1 John chapter 2. The general epistle of 1 John chapter 2. I have been asked on several occasions why we don't seem to be at a point where God is revealing deeper understanding, maybe of spiritual points or prophecy. I don't know the answer, all the answers. What I do know is that we are responsible for heeding, for doing what we do know and what we do have. And I am convinced that as we obey God, He will reveal more to us. If we focus on the important things that God has given us, loving God first and loving our neighbor as ourself, and we're doing that well, then God will bless us with greater understanding. There is a spiritual principle of obedience before understanding. And so I won't pretend to understand all the answers, but I do know that principle, obedience before understanding. 1 John chapter 2, Verse 3, by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So again, obedience is an important aspect of having deeper understanding. Point number 3, God's Spirit must be in us in order to understand prophecy. We must have God's Spirit in order to understand prophecy. There's a scripture I considered using with the second point. I'll just tie it into both of them. In Acts, I'm going to refer to it, where it says that God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him. And the understanding of that scripture allows us to know that what it's saying is that there's this dynamic that God has put into place. Is that as we obey Him, and once we have His Spirit, we're able to keep God's laws, we're able to worship Him in truth and in spirit, and as we grow in understanding, we're able to live His way of life, and then it's reciprocal because it strengthens us and He gives us more of His Spirit, and we're able to overcome and obey more. And so God gives His Spirit to those who obey Him, and it takes His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, in order to understand prophecy. John chapter 16, the Gospel of John this time, chapter 16. Verse 13, John 16 and verse 13 says, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. And so when we're talking about prophecy, future events, it comes through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And we must obey God in order to have His Spirit. In order to receive His Spirit. That reminds me, we normally, when someone in the congregation is baptized, make an announcement, and I don't think this has happened, has it, in this congregation? The day after camp, we went to the Catoctin Creek and had a baptism. And so I'd like to make everyone aware that Brianna Waddle was baptized recently. So through counseling with Mr. Carey. He was there. The Careys were there. A few of you here were there. Some friends from Morgantown. So it was a very beautiful thing. I just have to tell this one story that Mr. Carey said that we are here for this ceremony, and it's time for Brianna Waddle to be baptized. And right then, lightning struck, and a big thunderous boom took place, and we all had a good laugh. And put her in the cold creek and baptized her. But that was a very beautiful ceremony, and certainly happy to let you know about her baptism. So we do have to go through that process. We know from Acts 2 it says, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God tells us again in Acts chapter 5 that those who obey are those who receive His Spirit. And it takes God's Spirit to understand prophecy. And we're going to talk just a little bit more about that in the Bible study as well. But I want to look at one other verse, verse 26 of chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, verse 26. Where it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So people cannot truly understand prophecy without God's Holy Spirit. Notice for the next point, point number 4, which is to be willing to follow the example of God's servants. be willing to follow the examples of God's servants. Let's look in Romans chapter 10. I know that from time to time I've had people tell me that they don't follow any man, but Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, or imitate me as I imitate Christ. We're also told later to note those. That when it says to note those who set a good example or who follow God's way of life, it's talking about pay attention to how they live and to what they do and to follow their examples. And here in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring good tidings or glad tidings of good things. And so we see that we can follow the examples of those who are living God's way of life. We can imitate those who are striving to obey God, who are setting the right example. And it's a beautiful thing. Ephesians 4 talks about the unity that every one of us should be striving for and looking for. So be willing to follow the examples of God's servants. Strive for unity and harmony in the church. So again, we're free to study, we're free to reason, we're free to talk. I encourage you to talk about prophecy among yourself. But be sure that you're not teaching your own ideas, because as we said, there is no private interpretation of prophecy. Point number 5, remember that the Bible interprets the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. You might want to jot down, if you want to put this in your notes, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. We've already read it, but it talks specifically about the fact that there's no private interpretation of prophecy. Now, I have been asked to speculate more. It goes against my nature. It is hard for me to speculate. If you want to ask me to guess the score of a football game, I don't mind doing that. But when it comes to God's Word and it comes to prophecy, it's very difficult for me. My mind just doesn't focus that way. What I like to do is I like to go through the Scriptures and say, wow, this is what we know, or this is what God has given us as far as understanding. It's not wrong to speculate, but make sure it's clear that it's speculation, and don't try to teach speculation as gospel or as truth. Make it clear that it's speculation. And I'm more willing to speculate privately. So if you have questions about something and you want to ask me privately to speculate on specific things or ideas that you might be thinking of, that might be possible. But from up here, it just goes against my nature of who I am as a pastor to speculate too much. And when I do, hopefully I'll make it clear that it's speculation. But remember, the Bible interprets the Bible. So when you want answers to prophecy, you're welcome to ask Mr. Demarest as much as you want to. But go to the Bible. Look for the answers in... Yeah, you, not your father. Oh, I didn't say Mrs. No, you're welcome to ask, of course. But go to the Bible. That's where we'll find the answers, is in the Scripture. Number 6, understanding the identity of the nations. Point number 6, keys to understanding prophecy, is understanding the identity of the nations. I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 49, you can study that chapter, and we start to understand about Ephraim and Manasseh and who is Israel today. There's been a lot of information about that that's been written and published and preached about, but it's important to understand that. So if you have questions, get that material and study it and read it. Understand the identity of the nations. Just for my personal study recently, I've been going through a little bit about where did the apostles go when they went out preaching to various places. And a lot of that is speculation, so I doubt I ever give a sermon on it. But there are some things that we know and understand and look at as far as where they went. And we have certain understandings of certain nations. I know people in the church that they believe they know exactly what tribe they're from, and they believe that they're pure in that tribe from the nations of Israel. I don't know how anybody can know that unless God tells you, but maybe. But peoples have come and gone so much that who knows? What we do know, though, is that we are spiritual Israel today. So we understand that much. But it is important to understand who the nations of Israel, because when we go through prophecy and we look at prophecies, and the next sermon will be another sermon on prophecy, there's going to be prophecy specifically about Israel, because Israel is important to God in that sense, and He's got very specific prophecies for Israel. So number 6 is understanding the identity of the nations. Number 7, blessings and cursings. This is a premise, a huge premise of prophecy. As you study prophecy, you'll go through it and you'll recognize that so much of prophecy is about, if you obey me, I will bless you. If you do what's right, if you do what's good, you'll reap the blessings. If you do what's wrong, you will reap the cursings. So that's a premise of prophecy. So Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28 specifically cover blessings and cursings. Obedience brings blessings. Disobedience brings curses. Now, so when we get to prophecies that we'll cover specifically about the end time, and we recognize what God has to do to humanity, it's not because God wants to see people suffer. We know our God better than that. But humanity will not repent, will not humble themselves before God. And so because they exalt themselves through the inspiration, of course, of Satan, then God has to humble them. And we'll see the prophecies. But it's not all bad, because there's so many prophecies that are so encouraging. And when you study prophecy and you look at the return of Christ and the millennium, you could go through the chapters, and we'll do this at the feast. I'm sure you'll hear sermons specifically about the positive prophecies that's ahead for humanity in the future. So blessings and cursing is point number 7. Point number 8, prophecy is dual. Prophecy is dual. There's a lot of duality in prophecy. So a lot of the prophecies that are written out, when you study prophets and prophecy, you'll notice that there's some that are just oral. The people speak, God gives them the words, and so many of the prophecies will start with something like, "The Lord God says," and then the prophet will speak what God wants the people to hear. But some things, specifically prophecies, are written out. For example, in Daniel, specifically, God told him, "Write this down, because it's not for your time, it's for the future." So prophecy that's written out tends to be for the future, as well as, so it's for their time and the future. So this is a principle or a key to understanding prophecy. Number 8 is prophecy is dual. The fulfillment is dual. For example, we have the first Adam and the second Adam. So we understand the first Adam, that through the first Adam all have death, through the second all can have life. So there's the first Adam and the second Adam. There's physical and spiritual Israel. And then, of course, there's the prophets and prophecies who were dual, just like Moses, a type of Christ, and things of that nature. So as you study prophecy, that's a point or a key to keep in mind. Number 9, prophecy is a spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Prophecy is a spiritual gift. verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So there are spiritual gifts. We recognize it from other scriptures as well. They're always to be used to serve God's people, to serve the body as it pleases God. But we see in verse 8, it says that for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation. But we see that it's through God's Spirit, through gifts of the Spirit, that someone can have the gift of prophecy. So it is a gift of God. It's a spiritual gift. And those whom He allows to be inspired and to speak inspired, that comes from God through the power of His Holy Spirit. And then finally, point number 10 is realize that we are living in the last days. Daniel, look at Daniel chapter 12. I referred to it earlier. I want to look at it and read these scriptures. So in regards to prophecy, recognize as you study it that we are living in the last days. Exactly what that means, I don't know. Does it mean 10 years? 5 years? 20 years? One thing that you've heard me say, and I don't mind saying again, is that today we're closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we were yesterday. And tomorrow we'll be closer to the return of Christ than we are today. But when will Christ return? We know that we don't have that exact answer. But when we read these prophecies, we recognize that we are... to whatever degree is up to God, but we are in the last days. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Verse 9 says, "And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." So as we get closer to Christ returning, there will be understanding, there will be inspiration for us to understand prophecy. But when you consider, many shall run to and fro. If any of you have been in an airport, you see on any given day, I've been to airports on a Tuesday at 5:30 a.m. and it's packed. Or sometimes I get off a plane at 11:30 p.m. and there's a lot of people in the airport getting off the planes. It's just amazing, to me anyway. One time I was in Dallas on a plane, and it was a thunderstorm, so they made us all sit on the tarmac. And so if you've been on a plane, picture those little windows. I was looking out my window, because I was sitting next to the window. I always ask for an aisle seat. I'm one of those people. I know where I want to sit on the planes. I always try to get specific seats. This time I was stuck next to the window. But I'm looking out my window, and I counted 17 planes that were sitting on the tarmac. That's one airport in one state. I don't even know where Dallas would fall as far as the largest airports in the country. I know it's not the largest, but I was just amazed that those were the ones that had already pulled out waiting to take off that they made stops. So they weren't letting any land. Most of them were still at the gates. But here were 17 jets, not the small ones, but jets were sitting there waiting to go. So we are in a time where people go to and fro. When it wasn't too costly and they had the Concorde, it's incredible to think about for those of you who fly to Europe to go from London to New York in 4 hours. So we are... world travelers. Many of you have traveled around the world. Some of you are traveling for the Feast of Tabernacles. We travel. Humanity travels to and fro. That's what I mean by world travelers. We are traveling to and fro. And it's just incredible the amount of travel that's taking place. Knowledge shall increase. Did any of you read the article that was in the news here recently about controlling computers with brainwaves? Did anybody see that? It was saying before too long, they didn't give a specific date, but they said before too long, you'll get rid of your mouse and you'll just have your brain waves to be able to control the cursor on your computer screen and make it click on what you want to click or make it do what you want to do. Who knows when that's going to happen? But the knowledge that the scientists have, we have the knowledge to go to Mars. We don't have the knowledge to make someone live on the trip yet or reach it alive, but who knows what could take place in the near future. It's just incredible. So recognize to understand, one of the keys to understanding prophecy, number 10 that I'm giving you today, is to recognize that we do live in the end time. Exactly where we are in the end time, we don't know. But I'm convinced that things will get exciting here in the near future. For me personally, I've become somewhat dull to the things taking place in the Middle East. For those of you who have been around for a long time, you've been reading forever the turmoil that's taking place with Israel. But again, there's certain exciting things that are taking place with the Egyptians. Maybe you saw that they attacked the Israelis' embassy in the last couple of days. Turkey has done a variety of things against Israel. Sooner or later, Israel will be surrounded by the armies. So the reason I bring that up is because we have to take heed to prophecy. So we're going to conclude in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 29. Now, I wanted to conclude with a parable because for the Bible study, when we finish the services, we're going to have about a 15-minute break and we'll start the Bible study. We're going to focus on a parable. But here, Luke 21, 29 says, "And he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you likewise, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Verse 34, "But take heed to yourselves." So our responsibility in regards to prophecy is to take heed and to act upon it accordingly. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." So take heed to prophecy and act accordingly.